Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I've got filmmaker Otis Birdie on Zoom with me. Hey, Otis.
Hi, Jeff.
All right. Otis is in Bern, Switzerland right now. He is the maker of a film that won the Programmers Award for Exceptional Filmmaking at Filmvasion Los Angeles last year. Filmvasion LA 2021, we had his film Gian was an official selection and award winner. Super proud to even be associated with your film. Otis made this remarkable film about immigrant teenage boys in Switzerland. Just to give it away, he made this film because he had that job. He was teaching them French and was so inspired that he made this film. So you should try to find the film Gian somehow. Even if you just go to otisbirdie.com and send him a message saying, hey, I want to see your film. Beautiful film.
Very good.
But this podcast is going to be Otis answering the four questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. I'm always humbled when someone who lives in Europe or another part of the world answers these questions, because odds are I'm going to be one ignorant person who has no idea. I hope I've seen a few of your favorites, but please, Otis, go ahead. I'll shut up and let you answer that first question.
All right. So, yeah, I just, one of the three favorite movies, like, no, you know, the movies I have in my head are pretty mainstream, I have to say. But one of the most beautiful film I've seen this last decades, the third one is Moonlight. Do you know the movie Moonlight?
Yeah, movie. It's a beautiful film.
Yeah, it's 2016 was made in 2016, and for me, the story, the actors, the music, the images, the rhythm. Everything is so beautiful and so human and so deep and smooth and just everything. I was really touched by this movie, and I really recommend to the people to watch that movie for real.
Yeah, and so, like your film, it's a genuine, respectful telling of an underrepresented. People who are underrepresented in our culture and in media, you know, in a way it reminds, I'm not surprised that Moonlight is on your list, because your film in a way reminds me of it in those ways that you're taking. But do you have any more?
Yeah, sure. So kind of the movies of Nicholas Winding, like Drive. I was hesitating between two movies, because both of them have Ryan Gosling in the movie, but I was going to say Drive, because I'm kind of fascinated how, you know, the rhythm of the movie was mastered, and Ryan Gosling also. He's always quiet, and he masters this quietness. He masters this silence. He doesn't need to do too much to be being present on camera in the story. So, yeah, Drive was a pretty good surprise, and I'm really receptive with some. Yeah, clever movies like this. I found it clever and smart.
Yeah, very smart and stylish. And I know you have a lot of interest in music too. And yeah, the use of music in that film is remarkable.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Drive is a very cool film. And do you have a third?
Third one. So I wanted to... The third one would be, can it be an animation movie?
Of course, it could be.
Yeah,
it could be a movie. Right. It could be a movie that you. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, there will be a Ghibli from Ghibli Studio, the Japanese studio. I'm still hesitating between Princess Mononoke or Chihiro. That's the most famous one. Chihiro. The Moving Castle is also something pretty beautiful, but my favorite one is Princess Mononoke. And in general, for the all these Ghibli movies, something interesting is about Miyazaki always created strong women, strong characters. Lead the first role are always women, and this should be also an inspiration for all the creators that want to bring some feminism in the movies, to give more space to the woman in the culture, because I think that Ghibli Studio, that Miyazaki masters this feminist or this women's strength in the movies, in the stories. And I saw that in the last years, some directors try to do that, and for me, it's sometimes it doesn't really work, and sometimes it's pretty awkward, and that shouldn't be the representation of what could be the potential of a woman in the cinema or in things like that. So I think Ghibli Studio are really interesting stories that for me really represent like how fascinating, how strong can be a female actress.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful, that's an amazing film. Yeah. Most of the stuff from Studio, we call it, here it's called Studio Ghibli. That's the order that we say it. And yeah, I don't think I've ever been disappointed in something from that studio. Mm-hmm. Whether they're more mature and adult in their themes or more childlike. I know
Totoro.
I was going to say my friend Totoro is so sweethearted and yeah, it's what can I say? I don't really, I'm not really a fan of Disney animation, but I am a fan of Studio Ghibli. I like Pixar too, but yeah. I never really understood the love of. But anyway, I don't have to shit on Disney to appreciate. But all right, cool pick, cool picks. All right, well, you have one for underrated.
Underrated one. It's hard to tell because I don't really know what is actually how the people raise the movies. But let's have some fun, and I would say Kick-Ass, the Kick-Ass movie. Kick-Ass. It's a superhero movie, like superhero without power, and superhuman. Hero, let's say that, and I found really interesting how director presented that such this kind of story. Like basically, it's a comic book, yeah, but he could mix in a really dynamic way the movie art and the comics together. You know, all the different dimensions together. The rhythm is really cool. The humor, black humor, like satire, things like that. I love that. And I hope that we can still have satire. Do we say satire?
Yeah.
Satire. Yeah. Dark humor. Yeah, dark humor. I hope that we can still keep that in the future, and that we can still laugh on things or everything without... Yeah, having problems. I mean, you know, there's always limits in
what there is. But Kick-Ass is a very special movie. Yeah, and I think that's a good pick for underrated, because I know that a lot of people do love it, but I'm not sure it gets the respect it should. It's such a smart movie, and it's such a delight to have, because we're inundated with superhero movies. Heck, in your interview, I think I brought up Spider-Man and this and that, but
yeah.
But it's great to have a movie that takes the superhero idea and makes it very human, you know? makes it about human beings instead of about, you know, whatever. I like it. Kick-Ass is a nice balance to the MCU.
Really, for real.
All right. Well, the third question is overrated.
Overrated. So, it's hard to tell because I don't really know what the people think about the movies, you know. But I have one answer, but it's maybe a pretty easy one. That will be the whole MCU. But I don't know if it's overrated. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't really know what the world of the filmmakers or the public is saying about that. But yeah, you know, it's kind of easy because it's the blockbusters, and most of the time blockbusters just, you know, Transformers. But I know that Transformers are not overrated because, you know, just people just watch it once and then it's gone. But I know that the MCU with all the Avengers, all these movies, maybe they're overrated. I don't know. It's hard to tell for me.
It is hard to tell. I understand. And I totally understand. And I think other people have said the MCU is overrated for their answer. They'll say the whole thing. Right, one guy even said the whole Star Wars universe is overrated. But it is interesting because I think another tragic flaw of the MCU, as someone who did appreciate parts of it, is that commercially it can never end, right? They have to keep going. And so it really does thin it out. Like, I think it's sort of an amazing accomplishment that they had 22 films that tell a single story. But if you think about it, like, they can't stop. They just can't stop. They have to keep making them to make more money. And at that point, it's not an artistic enterprise. It's a commercial enterprise. And it takes whatever quality there was, I think, gets thinned out.
Yeah. I think as long as we can still have other movies, like deeper movies, authentic movies, independent movies, I have no problem with that. Like, the last Spider-Man movie, I was like a child in the cinema. When I can spoil, no spoil, but I was like a child for some reasons. And I was really, really excited in the cinema. I was the guy in the cinema like, oh shit, what the fuck? Or thing like, oh, did you have you seen that? I was really thrilled. Yeah.
What film was that? I think you had your hand over their microphone for a second.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying that I was like a child or like a teenager in the cinema when I was watching The Last Spider-Man for some reasons. Because, yeah, I can tell, no spoiler, but yeah, I was explaining that I was the guy in the cinema who said, whoa, damn, crazy.
I mean, for this last one where they had the No Way Home?
Yeah. I was the guy reacting to the most epic moments in the movie. But
no, there was moments in that movie that I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. I just can't, I loved it. I loved it because honestly, the thing I loved about it is it was a fan's way of saying, okay, the horror, a couple of the really stupid things we did in the past, we're going to explain now, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there are some great inside jokes.
Yeah, oh yeah. Fan service, big fan service.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, last question of the four is a lesser-known film to seek out.
Okay, so I would say it's really not a known one in France or in all the French-speaking parts of the world. Is Amélie from Jean-Pierre Jeunet. Amélie. It's really original.
So it's less well-known? That's interesting because I love that director.
Yeah, it's a really original one, a beautiful one, and yeah, I think it's kind of a masterpiece of its kind. Besides that, I was going to say like Moonlight, if it's not so known, I don't know, or Birdman.
Birdman was very, yeah.
Birdman, yeah. Yeah. That was a really cool one.
Those are great. Yeah, did really you see, cool. I'll just ask just because it's, I mean, Jeunet has so many amazing films. Did you see his film, The City of Lost Children?
No, not yet.
You have to.
Okay.
You have to watch that one. That one, that might be my favorite of his. And not that I don't love Mamalie, yeah. And not that I don't love Delicatessen, and not that I don't love most of what he's done. But The City of Lost Children kills me. Oh, I love it.
Wow. Okay.
I jumped in on your list and added one for you to seek out.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I will watch it. I will watch it for sure.
All right. Well, so cool. Before we jump off, I know if people want to look into you and your film, you want to give the web address and your social media for it.
Yeah, sure. So you can find all the news about my movie Gian on Instagram at Gian _. So Gian is Jiyan _movie on Instagram. And you also have we have the website Gian
_ movie.
Not _ under, yeah.
Is it gianmovie.com?
Gian line.
_ or dash.
No, dash, thank you. Yeah. Gian-film.com for the movie.
Oh, Gian.
For the website.
So I'll say it, Jiyan-film.com.
Yes, exactly.
I'll put that in, you know, this on discoverindiefilm.com. For this episode, I'll put those links for you.
Amazing. Great. And right. I have my personal website, otisbirdie.com, where I present the whole stuff I've created until.
Yeah. Until all right. Now. Very cool. All right. Well, I will, I'll wrap it up quickly. If you're listening to this podcast, be a nice person and like and subscribe and give 5 stars if you can. Talking about 5 stars, this Discover Indie Film Podcast actually gave birth to a TV series. It's on Amazon Prime Video. So just go to Prime Video, hopefully on a nice big TV, and search for Discover Indie Film. There's 4 seasons. Season 5 is coming out. That's an anthology of the best short films that I've seen on the festival circuit. And I'd love for people to give that TV series 5 stars on Amazon.com. Just go to search for Discover Indie Film in the video section. And you just heard Otis Birdie answer the 4 questions. And I met him through Filmvasion Los Angeles, which is a film festival we hold every June. You can learn about it at filminvasionla.com. And it's at filminvasionla on social media. And its sister festival that happens every November is the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. You can learn about that at shermanoaksff.com. And it's at shermanoaksff on social media. And hey, I think that's it. Thank you, Otis, for taking the time to hop onto Zoom from Switzerland. It's always a pleasure. I've gotten to talk to you twice. I feel like we're friends.
No, that's amazing. We were already friends since last year.
It's
pretty cool.
You know, that's
yeah.
You know, I don't say it often enough, but it amazes me that filmmakers are some of the nicest people I meet.
So good. You should be,
you know what
really
I mean?
Lucky working on this festival.
Yeah. Yeah, working on this festival. When I was on the festival circuit in the, like 30 years ago, well, 25, 30 years ago, people were very competitive and mean because everyone thought they were going to be the next Kevin Smith and Ed Burns and Spike Lee. And now everyone's more humble and they realize that the marketplace is so difficult that everyone's nice to each other. So it's really, really, really nice.
That's it.
Anyway,
in the music industry.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Well, thank you, Otis, for hopping on Zoom and answering those questions and doing the podcast. And I'll thank everyone for listening.
Thank you so much for inviting me.